Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. Like Brother Lowell said, this message I had prepared for the last Sunday in 2024, and we were blessed with three visiting speakers in a row. That was good. It's always good to have visitors with us and get to hear them. A lot of good admonition those few weeks. Was I thought about a message for here we are, the end of 2024. Now here we are, we're in 2025. Another week and a half or so, the first month will be already gone. As we came to the close of 2024, I wanted everyone to just reflect back over the year and answer the question, have I learned how to number my days? And am I applying my heart unto wisdom? And the title for the message this morning is Teach Us to Number Our Days. I think Chris told me, said, oh, there's a lot of messages on the website of that. I didn't listen to any of them, so maybe I missed some of the important points, but we're going to look at, turn to Psalm 90. That's where that verse comes from. As I thought about the end of 2024, you know, at the end of the school year, we have a lot of students here. At the end of the school year, you get a report card, and it's going to say pass or fail. You know, at the end of 2024, the question to each one of us, did you pass or did you fail? And, you know, it is really serious business. So just think about that as we go through the message here. Our text verse this morning, of course, is, if you're in Psalms 90, verse 12, is our text verse, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I had a devotional prepared on this verse for our revivals. In other words, we're always told, have one ready for sure and have the second one ready. If we don't have visitors, we're going to probably will be on for two devotions. And since I didn't need it, it has laid here, and I decided to expand on the thoughts I had prepared and make a message out of it. And this verse was on the top of our bulletins the Sunday before I came up with this devotions, this Psalms 90, verse 12. And it caught my attention. And I've been thinking about the fact that any of us could be the next person to die. And if you recall, Brother Marvin Lapp had our revivals, and we started Tuesday evening because he had a family get-together on the weekend before our revivals. And that Monday evening, we were at a viewing of one of Chris's friends. And I think some of the rest of you were there too. And, you know, Chris and her both had birthdays in June. They went to school together. They did things in the youth group. And she ended up with cirrhosis of the liver and a brain tumor. And anyway, 60 years old, and she was gone. And I noticed some of you sitting here, the younger ones, that may seem pretty old. It probably did to all of us when we were at one time. But wait till you're there and you'll realize it's not so old. And I also thought of our group of friends that we ran around with and we still get together with. Dale and Sharon are in that group. Anyway, it was a group of probably 20-some couples. And out of those couples, four are already gone. All of them died in their 50s. Not four couples, four people out of all those couples. You know, three had cancer and one had a heart attack. So you think about those things, and it's and we all can make a list of many people that have passed on. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Let's read Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I have just a few questions we want to just discuss real briefly. First question is, this Psalm's 90. Who's he talking to? Talking about teaching us the number of days. Is he talking to the elderly? Or is he talking to the terminally ill? You know, the elderly. Verse 10 says, our years are 70 years old, and if God gives us strength, we may have 80. But the end of verse 10 says, our time is soon cut off, and we fly away. So for sure, the elderly need to number their days, because they'll soon be gone. Or is it to the terminally ill? You know, for sure, they need to number their days, because their time on this earth is very limited. Well, those two categories only include a few of us. And what about the rest of us? So the second question I wrote down is, when should we start numbering our days? Something that we should start when we're young, or is it just after age 50, or 60, or 70, or 80? And the third question I wrote down is, how do we number our days? You know, we have no idea when we're going to die. So how do we number our days? Well, we need to all learn to number our days, because though the old will die, the young may die. And the fourth question I wrote down is, so what does it mean to number our days? You know, if it doesn't mean to actually number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or count down, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, etc. You know, this psalm, Psalm 90, is a prayer of Moses. And he's asking God to teach us to number our days. And you and I need to make that personal and ask God to teach us to number our days. You know, the request to teach us to number our days implies that it's not something we naturally will do. When you think about that, you know, rather it implies that it's something we must learn to do. He asked God to teach us. So it's something that we're going to need to learn to do. Well, we need God to reveal to us the brevity of life. We really do. So what does it mean to number our days? You know, none of us can count the number of days that we have here to live. Like I already said, we don't know how many days we have. The number of days, months, years, it's hid from us. And only the Lord knows when our time is up. Well, I believe the meaning of this petition is that God would teach us to number our days and we would live today as today was our last. You know, those who have learned to number their days spend them in pursuit of wisdom and serving the kingdom of God. You know, if we live like that, then we don't have to fear the wrath of God when our earthly lives are over. You know, those who never learn to number their days and spend them as if this life is all there is, Psalms 90, if you were listening as we read, warns them about the judgment that they are destined to undergo. We don't have time to look at this psalm. You know, when we learn to number our days, we see each day as a valuable gift and as an opportunity to serve God and his kingdom. Store up treasures in heaven. So just a few things. What does it mean to apply our hearts unto wisdom? You know, we're talking about applying our hearts to godly wisdom. And of course, when I think of wisdom, I thought a lot of things from Proverbs. It's loaded with a lot of wisdom. Well, I believe it means seeking salvation, you know, accepting, and we'll get into some of these in our points here, accepting Christ as your personal Savior, having him as Lord of your life. It means taking God's word, reading it, applying it to your daily life. You know, God's word will show us how to live. That's how we receive godly wisdom. It means heeding the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I need the Spirit's direction as we navigate through life. And there have been many intelligent men that probably understood the shortness of their life, but were not willing to apply their hearts unto godly wisdom. We all probably have lists of people that would come under that category. You know, unless a man is taught of God and by his Spirit is convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he will never be concerned about his future state. Godly wisdom is important because the choices we make during our brief stay on earth, they have eternal consequences. That's what makes it serious. Our earthly lives we're not going to be here long. We won't last long. And we need wisdom to prepare for what follows. So this morning's message is a very simple message. It's easy to understand. Nothing that you haven't already heard. You know, sometimes I look at some of these points, get into these messages, and then it's like, well, I think I already said this. And I hear other people, you heard these things so many times. And if you think about over the last couple weeks, our visiting speakers, I heard some of my points being used. And so I believe God wants us to hear it again. I have 8 points that we're going to look at that wise people will do. You know, teach us to number our days so that we will be wise. Point number one, a wise man will know Jesus personally. And I know you heard this many times. I'll repeat that. A wise man will know Jesus personally. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." John 3 verse 7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Every one of us, we're born with a sinful carnal nature. It's all of us. And when we reach the age of accountability and God calls us, then we need to repent and accept Christ as our personal Savior. And God bless you, Sawyer, for answering God's call. I love that. To see, you know, God's Spirit works in all of our hearts. And God bless you for answering that call. You know, there are many people that recognize that there's a God. But I'm talking about something a lot deeper than that. Yes, we acknowledge that he exists, but we also acknowledge his ownership of the whole universe. And that includes you and I. And acknowledging God also includes a daily submission to his lordship in everything, in every area of our life. You know, he cannot be Lord of just part of our life. He must be Lord of all of our life. He must be supreme. He must hold the highest place of importance in our lives. May I mention, you know, there's a lot of very intelligent people in this world that at the end of life, God is going to call them a fool because they didn't accept Christ as their personal Savior. So a wise man accepts Christ as his personal Savior and knows him personally. And this is the number one foundational point. It is. Because if we don't get this one taken care of, we won't get much more right as we go through life. You know, at the end of life, it will not matter what all we accomplished, what all we did right, what all we were able to do, if we don't know Jesus personally and have a relationship with him. So that is so important. Point number two is a wise man keeps wise company. And the next 3 points almost could be under the same heading. They almost overlap, but there is a difference. Just stay with me, and I think you'll see what I'm trying to get through here. Point number two, a wise man keeps wise company. Couple verses. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I know you hear this, have heard this many times. But here's a question. Who are your friends? I want you to just stop and evaluate your friends. You know who they are. Are they good, godly friends that are challenging your life, evaluating your thought processes and your actions, and helping you stay on the path. That's going to lead to heaven. Because if they are not doing that, then get rid of them, because they will destroy you. They will. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You know, that's the kind of friends that you and I need. Your friends are going to have a tremendous impact in your life. They will. They really will. Psalms 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And Psalm 1 was written for a reason. So don't let your relationships with unbelievers lead you away from Christ and cause your faith to waver. We all heard the saying, "Birds of a feather flock together." You know, you and I need to look and evaluate our friends, because that is who you will become like. I thought of peer pressure. You know, all of us, all ages, are affected by peer pressure. None of us are wise enough or strong enough to not need good, godly friends, because we will face peer pressure. So a wise man will keep wise company. Point number three, a wise man will accept rebuke and hear instruction. I'll repeat that. A wise man will accept rebuke and hear instruction. Proverbs 9:8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." You know, it can be hard to take when someone rebukes you. You know, how you and I receive that rebuke will show whether you're a wise man, whether I'm a wise man or not. Are you one that can accept rebuke and learn from it? You know, don't hate the person that is looking out for your good. Maybe he didn't come with the right attitude or say it in the right way, but don't hate the person that's looking out for your good. And there's a lot of verses on this point, and I had to wonder if it's because it's something that we as humans struggle with. I'm going to read a few verses here. We don't have time to turn to them. Proverbs 15:31 says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Proverbs 1:5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Any man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." Proverbs 8:33, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." Proverbs 9, verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Proverbs 21:12, "The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." You know, there's so many examples in front of us as we go through life. And there are many people making really bad choices. And you can watch their lives just spin out of control. Well, a wise person will learn from the mistakes of others. You know, life is short. We talked about we won't be here long. Life's short. You and I don't have enough time to learn and to live and learn all the lessons that we need to learn. There are so many hard lessons that we don't have to learn firsthand. And there is so much godly advice, instruction, and examples to follow. A wise man will open his ears and listen to all that advice and instruction, and will open his eyes and will learn from what he sees. You know, if we hear and listen to godly instruction, It'll it'll spare us so much in this life, and it'll lead us to our goal, which is heaven. So the question is, will you and I be teachable? Point number four. A wise man seeks godly counsel. A wise man seeks godly counsel. Turn to 1 Kings 12. I'm going to read some verses. You know, there's a lot of voices out there. And the question is, who are we listening to? Let me read you a verse. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, For thy wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. You know, as we go through life, you and I are going to make a lot of decisions. You know, through the years, I've watched people make a lot of foolish decisions. You know, we love to make our own decisions. We love that. We want to run our own life. Well, just remember, it's not a sign of weakness to ask for advice. It's not. You know, before you make any big decisions, seek out some good counsel. You know, there's so much wisdom out there. If we would only search for it or ask, you know, it may spare us from making some foolish decisions. As I thought about asking advice, one problem we as humans have, yes, we may be willing to seek counsel, but are we gonna be sure to ask counsel of those who will give us the counsel that we want to hear? You know, somehow we find the people that think like we do. And I thought of the account of Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. Not sure. I don't think we're going to take the time. I was going to read the first Kings 12, the first 16 verses. And I think we're going to run out of time. Let's just talk about it a little bit. You know, it was some really dark times for Israel. And they were spiraling away from God. And Solomon had just died, and Rehoboam was the new king. You know, the people, we know the story. The people were asking for mercy. And the decision was up to him. He was the king. And it was at his fingertips to change the future. It was up to him. And if we read the story, we'd see this. He did the right thing. He asked counsel. He asked for 3 days to get counsel. And he went to the old men, he went to the young men, and he got counsel. But we know what happened. He chose to trash the old men's counsel and to accept the young men's counsel. And if we had the time to read and keep reading through that chapter, it didn't work out very, very well. You know, Israel rebelled against him. I mean, they saw he's not listening to them. And it was not good. He lost a good percentage of the kingdom. It was not a good picture. So here's the question. Where are you going for your counsel? Where am I going for my counsel? You know, if Google is your source for counsel, you better be careful. I know we get a lot of things off of Google. Just remember the point. Wise men seek godly counsel. It's available if we just seek it out and ask for it. we need it. Point number five, a wise man will win souls. I'll repeat that. A wise man will win souls. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Jude 1:22 and 23 read like this, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, wise men realize what Christ has saved them from, and in turn will reach out to the many lost around them and try to save them from, spare them from an eternity in hell. And I think I had done this earlier. I couldn't remember what the message was, but once again, I looked up today's the world population. Forgive me for, I think I had done that probably not that long ago, but as I thought about this point, a wise man will win souls. Today, there are 8,196,170,544 people living on this planet. My small mind can hardly contain that. 8 billion people. That, you know, it's mind-boggling. You know, and that number that I just gave you is people living today. Just think about all the people that already passed on since the beginning of time. And all these people, these 8 billion people that are living today, are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Think about that. Let that soak in and impact your life. You know, God is looking to you and I. He's looking to his redeemed people to warn the sinners and get them to repent. I know I've said this many times, you've heard it. Just remember, you may be the only Bible that some people may be reading. Well, wise men will fulfill God's calling of sharing the gift of salvation with this lost world that we live in. Let's fill that role. So important. Point number six, a wise man will not be lazy. I'll repeat that. A wise man will not be lazy. John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Another verse, Proverbs 10:5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise man, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, seasons come and go. You know, if you were too lazy to plant in the spring, then you will not have anything to harvest in the fall. If you were too lazy to harvest this fall, then you're not ready for these winter months. And I know our farmers aren't them, that kind of people. You're wise, wise farmers. Most of us aren't farmers, so apply it to your life. You know, now's the time to get out there, work hard, and provide for our families and help with the needs among us. You know, we talked about seasons of life come and go. And there comes a time when the aging process takes its toll on your body. And just talk to some of the older ones among us. You know, they're challenging times. They are. And their working days are pretty well over. So the challenge to us younger ones is this. Now is the time to be about our work. Because it won't take long till we will be where the older ones are. It's, you know, time keeps moving on. You know, in the world we live in, some people view work as a bad thing. And you hear it. And, you know, it's one of them necessary evils. And, you know, ever since the fall, we need to labor with our hands. Work hard. And so accept it and embrace it and go make it happen. You know, if God gives you health and strength for the day, and you have a job and plenty of work, and you can supply your needs, you're a blessed person. You are. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have this. And just recently, I saw, I think there was a couple politicians that just brought it up. They want a four-day work week, 32 hours a week, with a four-day weekend. They were pushing that again. For what? Be one thing if they're going to take it and serve God on that weekend or that extra day. But no, it's so we can live a soft, pampered life than we can pleasure seek. You know, go to work. Apply yourself. Do it as unto the Lord. A quote I came across in my studies. Oh, it's not very nice, but I'm going to read it. It says, most Americans are some combination of lazy, entitled, unmotivated, chemically imbalanced, depressed, or lacking direction. I hope none of us are in that list. That's a world we live in. You know, in a poll, they asked children under the age of 20 what they want to be when they grow up. And most of them said they wanted to be YouTubers or a TikToker. You know, we have problems in this world. We do. As children of God, we're blessed. We are. You know, how sad. And I'm glad I don't believe that would be true of our children. We're blessed. But parents, teach your children how to work. It will bless them, and they can bless others. Point number 7. Yeah, it's time to close. Let me, whoever's going to close, I'll close. I want a couple minutes here yet. Point number 7, a wise man is a good steward. A wise man is a good steward. There's a treasure. Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, there is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And I know you already know this. You've heard this so many times, you know it. You know, everything that you own is a gift from God. It is. Just a few questions, just to get you thinking. Who gives you the next breath that you take? Who gave you health and strength that you could come to church this morning? Who gave us freedom of religion? What did you and I do to provide the gift of salvation that we so needed and enjoy? And who blessed us with our food, clothing, and shelter? Who gave you your children? Yes, they are your children. But you're only stewards of them because they are going back to God someday. They are. And the list can go on and on. That's just a few to get you thinking. Everything you have is a gift from God, and you're a steward of what he has entrusted to you. You know, and the sooner we can get a hold of that thought, the better off we'll be. You see, a steward knows that what he has, he will need to give an account of to the owner. So let's not forget, you and I will stand before an all-knowing God and give an account of what we did with our lives and all the gifts that he entrusted to us. So just remember, a wise man is a good steward. And I have one more. I had quit with 7. Then I just thought, you know what? One short one yet. And at point number 8, a wise man will limit the distractions. One more concern I have is the use of technology. We all use it. And I'm talking to myself. You know, in my studies, I came across a picture, and it was a picture of someone holding a phone, and they were swiping through things, and the saying went like this: I'm inviting friends over to stare at their phones, and you're invited. Probably, you might have seen that. You know, we all have it, this little device. Here it is. We have it. You know, the world without God is in trouble with the use of technology. It is. And I don't have it figured out where the limit is. My busy life limits my use of technology. But I do like to stay informed. I want to know what's happening in this country. And I want to know if worldwide, if we're ready to go into World War III, I'd like to know it. But just limit your distractions. Control them. Don't let them control you. You know, just think about this. If you knew that tomorrow your life would be ended, you would not sit around looking at your phone this evening, looking at the news. You wouldn't. You know, this may be your last day. And there are too many husbands, wives, and children that are just longing for someone's time, attention, their love. You know, this device that we all have will not teach you how to number your days. It won't. And it will not help you apply your heart unto wisdom. There's a lot of good help we can get, but it won't. It's a distraction. So just be careful. Be careful. I just want to throw that out. Don't forget our theme verse, Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, just a few questions that I want you to take with and think about this week. Do you know why you're here? Do you know and have a relationship with Jesus? What are you doing with the precious time you've been entrusted to? What are you doing with your days that God gives you? Are you making the most out of your days? Are you here to just get the most enjoyment out of life that you can?